It was my husband, Clifford, so terribly hurt in the war, and so hopelessly impotent, who first suggested I have a child with another man. How painful the suggestion was, and how quickly I dismissed it. And yet, it was so soon after that I saw the gamekeeper, naked to the waist in his solitude, washing himself near his cottage in the clearing in the woods. And after seeing him once, I had but one desire, to return to the clearing in the woods. One evening, I escaped after tea. I arrived at the clearing flushed and semi-conscious. The keeper was there, in his shirt sleeves, closing the coops for the night so that the little occupants would be safe. I had to come and see the chickens.
36 so far. Not bad.
I'd love to touch them. She pecks at me. She hates me. But I wouldn't hurt her chicks. So adorable. So cheeky.
You shouldn't cry. Shall you come to the hut? You lie there.
With a queer obedience, I lay down on the blanket. Then I felt the soft, helplessly desirous hand touching my body, feeling for my face. His hand stroked my face softly, softly, with infinite soothing assurance. And at last, there was the soft touch of a kiss on my cheek. I lay quite still, in a sort of sleep, in a sort of dream. Then I quivered as I felt his hand groping softly, yet with queer, thwarted clumsiness among my clothing. Yet the hand knew, too, how to unclothe me where it wanted. He drew down the thin silk sheath, slowly, carefully, right down and over my feet. Then, with a quiver of quiescent pleasure, he touched my warm, soft body and touched my navel in a kiss. And he had to come into me at once to enter the peace on earth of my soft, quiescent body. It was a moment of pure peace, the entry into the body of a woman. I lay still, in a kind of sleep, always in a kind of sleep. The activity, the orgasm was his, all his. I could strive for myself no more. Even the tightness of his arms around me, even the intense movement of his body, and the springing seed in me, was a kind of sleep from which I had not begun to rouse until he had finished and lay softly panting against my breast. Then I wondered, just dimly wondered, why? Why was this necessary? Why had it lifted a great cloud from me and given me peace? Was it real? Was it real? And I knew, if I gave myself to the man, it was real. But if I kept myself for myself, it was nothing. I was old. millions of years old, I felt. And at last, I could bear the burden of myself no more. I was to be had for the taking. To be had for the taking. What was he feeling? What was he thinking? I did not know. He was a strange man to me. I did not know him. I must only wait, for I did not dare to break his mysterious stillness. He lay there with his arms around me, his body on mine, his wet body touching mine, so close and completely unknown, yet not unpeaceful. His very silence was peaceful. When at last he roused and drew away from me, it was like an abandonment. He drew my dress in the darkness down over my knees and stood for a few moments, apparently adjusting his own clothing. Then he quietly opened the door and went out. I saw a very brilliant little moon shining above the afterglow over the oaks. Then I went to the door of the hut. Shall I come again?
Yes. Yes. Come again.
Yes. You're late.
Why? Won't folks be thinking something? You coming here every night?
Why? I said I'd come. Nobody knows.
They soon will, though. And what then?
Why should they know?
Folks always do.
Well, I can't help it.
Hey, you can help it by not coming, if you want to.
But I don't want to.
But what when folks find out? Think about it. Think how lowered you feel. One of your husband's servants.
Is it that you don't want me?
Think. Think what if folks find out? Sir Clifford and everybody talking.
Well, I can go away.
Where to?
I can go away.
But it happens you don't want to go away.
Yes, yes. I don't care what happens to me.
Oh, you think that. But you'll care. You'll have to care. Everybody has. You've got to remember your ladyship is carrying on with a gamekeeper. It's not as if I was a gentleman. Yes, you'd care. You'd care.
I shouldn't. What do I care about my ladyship? I hate it, really. I feel people are jeering every time they say it. And they are. They are. Even you jeer when you say it.
Me? I don't jeer at you. Don't you care about the risk? You should care. Don't care when it's too late.
But I've nothing to lose. If you knew what it is, you'd think I'd be glad to lose it. But are you afraid for yourself?
I am. I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of things.
What things?
Things, everybody, the lot of them. Nay, I don't care. Let's have it and damn the rest. But if you were to feel sorry you've ever done it...
Don't put me off.
Let us go in, then. And take off your Macintosh. I brought another blanket so we can put one over us if we like.
I can't stay long. Dinner is 7:30.
Oh, one time. We'll have one long time.
He put the blankets down carefully, one folded for my head. Then he sat down for a moment on the stool and drew me to him, holding me close with one arm, feeling for my body with his free hand. I heard the catch of his intaken breath as he found me under my frail petticoat. I was naked. His finger caressed the delicate, warm, secret skin of my waist and hips. He put his face down and rubbed his cheek against my belly and against my thighs again and again. And again I wondered a little over the sort of rapture it was to him. I did not understand the beauty he found in me through touch upon my living, secret body. Almost the ecstasy of beauty. For passion alone is awake to it. And when passion is dead or absent, then the magnificent throb of beauty is incomprehensible and even a little despicable. Warm, live beauty of contact, so much deeper than the beauty of vision. I felt the glide of his cheek on my thighs and belly and buttocks and the close brushing of his mustache and his soft, thick hair, and my knees began to quiver. Far down in me, I felt a new stirring, a new nakedness emerging. And I was half afraid, half I wished he would not caress me so. He was encompassing me somehow. Yet I was waiting, waiting. And when he came into me with an intensification of relief and consummation that was pure peace to him, still I was waiting. I felt myself a little left out, and I knew. Partly it was my own fault. I willed myself into this separateness. Now perhaps I was condemned to it. I lay still, feeling his motion within me. His deep-sunk intentness, the sudden quiver of him at the springing of his seed, then the slow, subsiding thrust, that thrust of the buttocks. Surely it was a little ridiculous. If you were a woman, and a part in all the business, surely that thrusting of the man's buttocks was supremely ridiculous. Surely the man was intensely ridiculous in this posture and this act. But I lay still, without recoil. Even when he had finished, I did not rouse myself to get a grip on my own satisfaction, as I had done with Michaelis. I lay still, and the tears slowly fell and ran from my eyes. He lay still too, but he held me close and tried to cover my poor naked legs with his legs to keep them warm. He lay on me with a close, undoubting warmth.
Are you cold?
No, but I must go. He led me through the wall of prickly trees that were difficult to come through to a place where was a little space and a pile of dead boughs. He threw one or two dry ones down, put his coat and waistcoat over them, and I had to lie down there under the boughs of the tree like an animal while he waited, standing there in his shirt and breeches, watching me with haunted eyes. But still he was provident. He made me lie properly, properly. Yet he broke the band of my underclothes, for I did not help him, only lay inert. He too had bared the front part of his body, and I felt his naked flesh against me as he came into me. For a moment he was still inside me, turgid there and quivering. Then as he began to move, in the sudden helpless orgasm, there awoke in me new strange thrills rippling inside me, rippling, rippling, rippling like a flapping overlapping of soft flames, soft as feathers, running to points of brilliance, exquisite, exquisite, and melting me all molten inside. It was like bells rippling up and up to a culmination. I lay unconscious of the wild little cries I uttered at the last. But it was over too soon, too soon. And I could no longer force my own conclusion with my own activity. This was different, different. I could do nothing. I could no longer harden and grip for my own satisfaction upon him. I could only wait, wait and moan in spirit as I felt him withdrawing, withdrawing and contracting, coming to the terrible moment when he would slip out of me and be gone. Whilst all my womb was open and softly clamoring, like a sea anemone under the tide, clamoring for him to come in again and make a fulfillment for me. I clung to him, unconscious in passion, and he never quite slipped from me. And I felt the soft bud of him within me stirring and strange rhythms flushing up into me with a strange rhythmic growing motion, swelling and swelling till it filled all my cleaving consciousness, and then began the unspeakable motion that was not really motion, but pure, deepening whirlpools of sensation, swirling deeper and deeper through all my tissue and consciousness, till I was one perfect concentric fluid of feeling. And I lay there crying in unconscious, inarticulate cries. The voice out of the uttermost night, the life. The man heard it beneath him with a kind of awe as his life sprang out into me. And as it subsided, he subsided too, and lay utterly still, unknowing, while my grip on him slowly relaxed, and I lay inert. And we lay and knew nothing, not even of each other, both lost, till at last he began to rouse and become aware of his defenseless nakedness. And I was aware that his body was loosening its clasp on me. He was coming apart, but in my breast I felt I could not bear him to leave me uncovered. He must cover me now, forever. I went slowly home, realizing the depth of the other thing in me. Another self was alive in me, burning molten and soft in my womb and bowels. And with this self, I adored him. I adored him till my knees were weak as I walked. In my womb and bowels, I was flowing and alive now, and vulnerable and helpless in adoration of him as the most naive woman. It feels like a child, I said to myself. It feels like a child in me. And so it did. As if my womb, that had always been shut, had opened and filled with new life, almost a burden, yet lovely.